all want our plans to succeed, but what does the Lord want? Hi, I'm Rob West. Are you and God on the same page when it comes to your financial plans? Today we'll talk about achieving your financial goals and doing God's will. Then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, as you know, we're big fans of planning. That's because having a plan is the best way to meet your financial goals, or any goals for that matter. The question is how to make sure your plans line up with God's will for your life. That's important because if you're a Christian and Jesus is your Lord, well, you know His plans are the best. In fact, it says in Proverbs 19:21 that many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will succeed. The purpose of the Lord will succeed. So it's worth finding out what He wants. How do you do that? Well, His word tells us, Micah 6:8 says, "And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." Proverbs 3:5-7 is another passage that gives us a clue about God's will for His people. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil." So, can submitting your ways to God help you plan for retirement or save up for a car or plan a vacation? Well, you might not receive a note from the Almighty telling you which car to buy, but if you're committed to living by biblical standards, you will certainly experience greater peace and confidence about your choices. Here's the bottom line. We focus on whatever has eternal value. In other words, seek first the kingdom of God. When you're trusting in the Lord with all your heart, as you pray, read His word, and submit your financial plans to Him, God will direct you into His will. That doesn't mean things will always be easy, but they will be godly. Sometimes when you're praying for God's will to be done and trusting for the Lord's guidance, you might still need a bit of practical advice from someone you trust. After all, seeking wise counsel is a biblical idea. Proverbs 15:22 says, "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors they succeed." That said, we have some biblical counsel for your plans in the area of saving, debt, and employment. First, saving. Paying for college or retirement or a home purchase can mean many years of diligent saving. This takes patience and commitment. My advice is to set a target amount and figure out how much you'll need to put away each month. Put that money where it will earn the most interest and ask God to give you the discipline to stay on track. For retirement, be sure to max out any savings options offered by your employer or get going on your own with a traditional or Roth IRA. For college saving, I like 529 savings plans. We'll talk more about those another time, but you can research them online as well. What if you're getting a late start with your saving? Well, you might be afraid you won't meet your goals because your timeline is shorter. My first suggestion is, don't worry. The Bible assures us that we do not need to worry about having our needs met. Our God is Jehovah Jireh, our provider, who cares for the sparrows of the field and even more for you and for me. Besides saving, another big goal you might have is eliminating debt. This is another area where you need a plan. Figure out exactly what you owe and make a plan to pay it off. Pay off one debt at a time, then apply the payment amount to the next debt. If you need more help, we recommend you visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. We do not recommend debt consolidation or debt settlement. Share your goals with trusted friends or family so they can encourage you and celebrate your successes along the way. Remember, God's word says the borrower is servant to the lender, and keep your debt-free goal in sight. Above all, don't get discouraged. Ask the Lord to help you break any bad habits and get the advice and support you need. The third area you might need financial advice is employment. Are you unemployed or underemployed? To improve your earning power, you need a new job or possibly a promotion in your current job. One way to reach these goals is to get training and improve your skills. Be sure to network and talk to your job contacts often. Your persistence and enthusiasm will earn you employment brownie points. Ultimately, as we said at the start, when you focus first on the things that have eternal value, the purpose of the Lord will prevail in your financial life. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Have you ever made a cross-country road trip? Years ago, we had paper maps on hand to help us navigate our way. Nowadays, we have smartphones with maps of the world in the palm of our hands. But do we have a map for all of life? Where do we go when we're not sure about the next chapter in our lives? God's Word. Proverbs 3 gives us a roadmap for godly living. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. It won't always be easy, but when we devote our lives to the Lord, we'll have straight paths. Those paths will lead us home. Get daily encouragement from God's Word with Anchor Devotional. Try it out at getanchor.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Are you completely sold out to God? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
God knows if your heart is wholly devoted to Him or not. Now, wouldn't it be cool and exciting if you had a heart that's passionate, that's in love and on fire for Jesus Christ?
Learn how to give Him your all and gain everything that really matters. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from LightPoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LightPoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches. And we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at lightpointportfolios.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. We'd love to tackle the issues that you're wrestling with today, financially speaking. So give us a call, 800-525-7000. We've got a few lines open and we're ready to dive in. Call right now, 800-525-7000. Let's begin today in Georgia. Rebecca is a first-time caller. Go right ahead.
Hey, Rob, this is Rebecca. I have a situation. I'm looking forward to retiring, hopefully at age 63. I have plenty of funds in my retirement, plenty of funds in liquid retirement. However, my husband's talking about going ahead and retiring at 63, but then living off some of the funds from my retirements for a couple of years and then withdrawing at the higher rate of 65.
Yeah.
I'm more comfortable with just going ahead and with doing the with totally retiring at 63 with my Social Security. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So let's kind of play this out here for a second. I mean, the big idea is that the longer you wait, the higher that payment grows. So you have an estimated benefit that you would get at full retirement age, somewhere between 66 and 67. And anything you take less than that, you're going to shave off of that about 8% per year by taking it early. So, you know, you take it at 62, you're going to have a 30% reduction that's locked in. And then the only increases could come from either you continuing to work and replacing some of your lower earning high 35, so that your benefits calculated on your highest 35 years of wages. And if you replace any of those, even into retirement, then that can raise your benefit. The only other way is through a cost of living adjustment, but you are going to lock in that reduction. And so the question is just, you know, why are we taking it early, especially if you don't need to? And would you be better off delaying and allowing that benefit to continue to grow as close to full retirement age or even beyond that up to age 70 as possible? Now, the reason a lot of folks will is go take it early is they're ready to retire, either they need to or physically they, you know, it's just the best option for them, or they just want to transition to whatever God has next for them and they don't have the income sources to support their lifestyle unless they take Social Security. And so it's essential, but that's a decision that you have to make. So, you know, talk me through that just in terms of, okay, first, you know, based on when you all are wanting to retire, would you be able to cover your bills through other retirement sources? And if not, you know, then we obviously could consider taking the Social Security early.
Right. Our house is paid for. Cars are paid for. We have land, a lot of land. It's all paid for. It's planted in pines, and then we get those harvested. And
nice.
That's just free money. We have, just talking about me, my retirements are upwards of $500 million. Half a million. My personal free money is right at half a million. That's not talking about my husband's side.
So that $500,000 is in a retirement plan?
Yes, it's I have a 401k that's right at half a million, and then a 401k Roth that's probably at 100,000, and then a 401k Roth. I have a regular Roth and then a 401k. Both of those are right at 100,000.
So you've got three retirement accounts total for about 700,000 between the three?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I have in liquid about half a million.
In addition to all of that?
Yes, and that's just on my side.
Okay, and what about for him?
He's probably got probably a little less than what I have in his retirement and probably a little less than what liquid.
All right. So maybe instead of 700, he has a half a million in retirement all in?
Yeah.
Okay. And then liquid, instead of a half a million in savings, he's got maybe 250, 300,000 plus?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
So we're fine for retiring.
Yeah.
And so my working situation has become very difficult. There's been some harassment and bullying.
Oh, wow.
Having to involve going up to people above me.
So other than pulling from these retirement accounts or the liquid savings, what other income sources will you have in retirement besides Social Security? Just the harvesting?
There's some other things like some.
So what would you expect to have per year coming in, not from Social Security or from retirement assets over a 12-month period?
It would just be the interest off of the monies.
Okay, got it. Yeah, and what is your monthly need?
Just the electricity and
Would you guess $1,000 a month, couple of thousand a month, more?
At the most.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, I don't see any reason why you'd take Social Security unless you weren't in good health. But if you're both in good health and the Lord tarries, you could obviously let that grow. You've got plenty of assets. Or you could take it and just say, listen, you know, the difference between Social Security at 62 and Social Security at full retirement age of about 30% really isn't going to make a difference because we're sitting on so much in the way of assets. And we'd rather have that money now because we could give it away. We could travel a little bit more and we wouldn't even have to touch our investments. So I could go either way on that. I mean, you guys are in such a strong position with no debt, with significant assets, tons of liquidity. You know, you're sitting on a paid off piece of property. You're bringing in some extra income from the harvesting every year. I mean, you guys are in really great shape. So I think it's really just, would we feel better letting this grow, taking it later and having more that we could do more with, giving or, you know, whatever you'd like? Because I think at this point, you probably have reached the enough category where there's not any need necessarily to continue to save because you've got all the assets you could want. You could probably start to look at accelerating your giving, if anything, because all the other buckets have been eliminated. I mean, we're not going to pay any more taxes. As you increase your giving, your taxes are going to come down. Plus, you're not going to have earned income anymore. You don't have to necessarily continue to save. So the give bucket's gone, and it sounds like you've capped your lifestyle. So really, the only bucket of the four that's left out of live, give, owe, and grow is give. So I think, you know, the Social Security now or later question is really just a function of whether we'd like to have that money now so we could do some things with it or whether we'd like to let it grow and take it down the road. And you've got that, you know, complete flexibility to do either one.
Okay. Okay. So it's not a bad thing to.
I don't think in your situation, you know, for folks. Yeah, I mean, for folks that are saying, listen, we're going to live in, you know, we don't have much in the way of retirement assets and we're trying to cover our bills on a monthly basis. And, you know, that extra, you know, $1,000 a month or $600 or $800 a month that we could get by waiting is going to close the gap and allow us to know that we've got peace of mind, that at least that's going to cover our bills for the rest of our life. It's a big deal. For you guys, it really is just a, do we want it now or do we want it later? We really don't need it. And so if we could do some things with it, let's take it now. And we'd be willing to settle for a little bit less. So I think that's something you all just need to think and pray about. God bless you, Rebecca. Thanks for being on the program today. We'll be right back.
The LGBT movement isn't new. Since 1968, it's been making its way into the Christian church, and now we're seeing parts of the church starting to affirm the quote-unquote gay Christian lifestyle. How did we get here? In the book Dangerous Affirmation, author M.D. Perkins sheds light on how Christians are being lured away from God's truth and calls us to faithfulness to God's design. You can get the ebook version of Dangerous Affirmation today at resources.afa.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
This fall, believers from across America will gather in our nation's capital. We'll hear from government leaders, policy experts, and leading Christian voices, learning how we can engage in government at every level, from local school boards to state legislatures to Congress and even the White House, to win back the soul of our nation. Join with us for the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit, Believe and Engage, September 15th through 17th. Register now at PrayVoteStand.org.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. It's my privilege each morning to come alongside you, provide some encouragement, some hope, point you back to God's Word, and help you make good, wise financial decisions. That's what we do on this program each day. We've got two lines open for your financial questions today. The number to call is 800-525-7000. Hey, before we head back to the phones, let me remind you, Faith and Finance is listener-supported, which means we rely on your generous gifts to bring you this broadcast every day. And so if you found something helpful, maybe you tune in regularly and you enjoy the broadcast, we'd invite you to be a financial supporter of this ministry beyond your giving to American Family Radio. You can do that quickly and securely on our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click Give. Thanks in advance. All right, back to the phones we go. We're going to head to Kentucky next. Hi, Martha. Go right ahead.
Hi, Mr. West. I called you last week about a quit claim deed on my brother's house.
Yeah.
He and his lawyer never filed it. So my name is so that's out of the picture now. My name is still on the deed to the home. He's going to close on it next Friday. I don't want any money out of this house, but my name is on that deed, and so I have to show up for the closing and sign my name.
Yeah.
Do I have to take money for the sale of this house, or can I? You said something about we did see a CPA. She couldn't make heads or tails out of it because all we had was three copies of the quitclaim deed, which they kept messing up, so misspelling and stuff. So they got rid of that. They never filed it, but my name is still on the deed. I don't want the house. I've never paid anything towards it. My brother wants to sell it. He's going to close next Friday. I show up for the closing, sign my name. Am I responsible for paying taxes on it then?
Yeah. See, there's two pieces to a valid real estate deed conveyance. The giver, the grantor, which is you, must deliver it to the recipient called the grantee, and then the grantee must accept it. That didn't happen in this case, so you know, you are the rightful owner of this. Your name, as you said, is on the deed filed with the county. And that's why you have to show up at the closing, because your brother's really not a party to this, despite the fact that you all see it differently and he's been living in it. From a legal and a tax standpoint, this is your property. So you are the one selling it, even though your brother's kind of calling the shots. So that's why you're going to show up at closing. At closing, the person that buys this property from you, because you're on the deed, is going to pay you. And that money's going to have to be deposited in your account. It'll be wired into an account that you give to the closing agent. At that point, because you haven't lived there, there will be capital gains that are owed because you haven't lived there 2 out of the last 5 years. And so your CPA will have to determine what is the profit here, what is the gain. And then if you're, you know, married filing jointly, it'd be, you know, if you have income over roughly $80,000 and below $500,000, you'd be in a 15% capital gain, long-term capital gain bracket, if you will. If you're single, roughly over $40,000 in income, below $500,000, you'd be in that same 15% bracket. So you'd calculate, what is my profit here? The selling price minus the purchase price minus any improvements, that's going to give you your profit. And then you'd likely pay 15% of that to the government. Now, at that point, if you wanted to then gift what remains to your brother, because, you know, this was, you know, the house that you intended for him to have, you could just make a gift to him of that amount, and then that would be his asset moving forward, and he would pay taxes on any interest or gains on it, and you'd have to let the IRS know that you made that gift. But that event would not be taxable. It would just be added to, you know, it would go against your lifetime gift amount that you can make of up to $12 million. So you'd be well under that. So no taxes due there, and then you could walk away from this and be done. Does that all make sense?
Actually, no. I don't own that house. My brother owns it.
But you said you're on the deed.
I'm on the deed as a co-owner with him.
Okay, so you each own it 50-50.
Yes, apparently.
Okay.
That's
okay. So, all right. So let me just modify that. When it's sold, 50% is going to be wired into his account. 50% is going to be wired into your account, and you're going to be responsible for 50% of the capital gains tax.
Okay. So I will be responsible, and then whatever is left after I pay the taxes, that would be at next year's tax time when we file our taxes
for 2023. That's right.
Okay, and then I want to give the rest of whatever we didn't pay and whatever's left out of paying taxes back to him.
You'd make a gift to him of that amount, and if that's more than $17,000, you'd need to let the IRS know, but that would not be a taxable event.
It would not. Okay.
No.
Okay. All right. All right. I thank you for your help.
Okay. You're welcome. Thanks for calling, Martha. Hey, let us know how it turns out. We've been following this one with you for a week or so. Let's head to Texas. Hi, Jackson. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My wife has a grandmother that just passed away, and her grandma had three kids, and one of her kids is my wife's father, who passed away when she was 15. My wife's grandmother, she's passed away and she has this house, and my wife's uncle is the executor of the will for the house.
Yeah.
And he's just taking his sweet time because he doesn't know about, I don't know, he says the Ukraine thing, and he's just wants to hold off. Is there a way, because my wife and I could really use that money right now, and he has a lot of money, is there a way to speed that process up, or is there nothing we can do because he's the executor of the will?
Yeah. The challenge is he's got quite a bit of latitude in there. I mean, you can, you know, there are legal means to step in if he's not, you know, if he's negligent, essentially, and he's neglecting his duties in the probate process. But at the end of the day, he's got quite a bit of latitude with which, you know, to see this through over a good number of months. So I'd probably appeal to him and just say, listen, we could really use this. Is there any way we could kind of move this along? But apart from that, there's not a whole lot that can be done there without going to court. I know this is challenging for you, Jackson. I wish I had a better answer for you. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
What would you do?
Aunt Sadie, I appreciate your thought behind the gift card, but I just can't take it. I promise not to shop at Target because they allow men in areas that need to be private and protected for women and children. I hope you'll go to afa.net/target and learn about it. I'm not giving them my money.
Aunt Sadie didn't know about AFA's call to boycott Target, but she knows now, and so do you. Learn even more at afa.net/target. afa.net/target.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Just to circle back to our caller just before the break, we got short on time there. Jackson is concerned because in an estate that's being settled from the passing of a relative, he and his wife are going to inherit the home, but the executor, his uncle, is being slow in that process, has a number of reasons why he's being slow. Unfortunately, they have a lot of latitude there. I mean, estate settlement can take months or years. I realize it doesn't need to in most cases. There are a few ways to have an executor removed, but it's not easy. You'd have to petition the court. Now, of course, if they've failed to carry out the wishes of the deceased or they haven't done anything at all, that can be one of those reasons to have them removed. But it's not easy. And in most cases, just the slowness of it is often not going to be met with much positive response. You typically are just going to have to wait a little bit longer for that person to do what they need to do. But you can petition the court to have the executor removed if they have failed to, follow through on their obligations, and the court finds just cause for that. So I think you'd have more success potentially appealing directly to the executor, your uncle, than going through a legal remedy. But you can always check with an attorney and just get some legal counsel on this. But generally speaking, that's what I would encourage you to do. We appreciate your call today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open, two, in fact, for your questions. 800-525-7000. Let's head to Oklahoma. Hi, Sheila. Thanks for your patience. Go right ahead.
Hello, and thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I bought a I-bond around 2 years ago when it was paying high interest.
Okay.
Well, now it's down to over 4%.
That's right.
If I were to sell it, I understand, I think I understand that it would take 3 months' interest away from me.
Yes.
And am I understanding right, if you keep it for 5 years, you have no penalty? And I just don't know what to do. Do I sell it or keep it? I mean,
yes,
that's
very
my
good
question.
Yeah. Well, I would say, for most people, the best option right now is to go ahead and sell it. You are correct in that, Sheila. If you sell it beyond a year, which is the absolute minimum that you have to keep it, but you do have to keep it beyond a year, and it sounds like you have, but you sell it in less than 5 years, or what they call redeem it, then you do pay a penalty equal to 3 months' worth of interest. But, I still think it's better for you to go ahead and get out of it The reason is that you can do much better elsewhere. And, you know, I would rather you see go ahead and take that option. I mean, we're talking about, you know, with and it's going to be the penalty is going to be based on the prevailing interest rate. So 1/12 of, 4.3%. I mean, you're talking about less than 1% that you would pay to get out of it. And, you know, you'd have to wait another 3 years in order to get beyond that penalty period. And that interest rate is just going to continue to come down. So I think it's probably better to say, listen, I got the 9% when it was offered, and then I got the 6% when it was offered, and that was great for essentially a risk-free investment. And now part of the way I'm going to get that is by giving back, 3/12 of 4.3%. And I'm willing to do that because I know I can move that money elsewhere and do a lot better. I mean, you could put that into a 1-year CD right now at 5.5%. And, you know, that rate's about to drop down even further come November. So I would say, as much as I don't like to pay penalties, it's a modest penalty. And in light of what you've gotten over the last couple of years, I think it's something I would gladly pay and then just move on to the next investment.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your help.
All right, Sheila, thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Actually, every line is full, so if you get a busy signal, just hold tight. There'll be one open in a moment. We'll continue to take some great calls like this one. We're going to Georgia. Glenn is a first-time caller. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a 21-year Air Force retiree, and so I have that pension coming in. Considering retiring in 2 years, I don't have any debt. My house is paid off. I have a $100,000 annuity and a $100,000 401k. My total income after retirement in 2 years should be around $90,000. That's with both Social Security and my Air Force pension. And also I have a VA disability check coming in as well. So I'm just wondering, my wife and I are the same age, so we'll both retire together in 2 years. Just wondering what kind of shape I'm in financially.
Sounds like you're in great shape. So you're going to bring in a roughly $7,500 a month just on your retirement income. And then what would she also have?
So she has just a Social Security check coming in. So that's included in the $90,000 annual income after retirement.
Okay. Yeah, very good. And I imagine with you all being debt-free, your lifestyle is fairly modest. What's your monthly need?
So I considered probably around $25,000 a year just for our expenses and some light travel to visit family during retirement.
Yeah, great. I mean, you're in really good shape. Do you have any liquid savings?
So we have $10,000 in the savings right now, but we're going to add to that before we retire.
Yeah, excellent. Well, no, I think you're in great shape, Glenn. I mean, you know, here you're going to have as much as $5,000 a month surplus that you can use for, you know, additional savings. Once you get up to what you deem to be enough for savings, at that point could do some additional giving. You may want to look at, depending on, what your, with your benefits, VA benefits, you may not need long-term care insurance, but that would probably be the only risk you have in this season of life, is just the need for nursing home care or something like that. 70% of Americans 65 and older will need some form of long-term care. And if you need full, nursing care, that can run $9,000-$10,000 a month. So that would be probably your major risk, but you're sitting on a couple of $100,000 worth of investments that you don't need to touch. Those can continue to grow. You've got a guaranteed income source for you and your wife. Well, triple what your monthly need is, and you've got some liquid savings that you'll be adding to. So I think you're in great shape. I think the only thing to consider is just, are you covered for the possibility of long-term care with your existing coverage and benefits, or do you need to add a long-term care insurance policy on top of that? That would be my only recommendation.
Thank you. That's great advice. I appreciate
all
that.
Right. Absolutely. Hey, Glenn, thanks for your service. We are incredibly grateful. And thanks for being on the program today. Folks, we've covered a lot of ground today. We've only got here just a minute before our next break. So I'm going to ask Linda and Nona and Betty to hold right there. And in our final segment, we'll come right to you all. And we've got some other calls coming in as well. So we'll continue to take your calls here on Faith and Finance Live. You know, as we think about managing God's money, one of those questions we need to ask, you know, Ron Blue, one of my mentors, personal finance author on biblical finance, he says that Christians need to answer three questions as it relates to our money. The first is, who owns it? That, of course, the answer is God owns it all. The second is, how much is enough? That's what I was getting to with Glenn and with the previous caller, both for lifestyle and accumulation. And then the third is the next steward chosen and prepared? Have you answered those questions? I think we all need to do it. Who owns it? How much is enough? Is the next steward chosen and prepared? Good things to think about today. Quick break and back with more on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Today's issues.
At the bottom of the hour, Jenna Ellis will be with us, host of the Jenna Ellis in the Morning program. And then Dr. Alex McFarland, co-host of Exploring the Word, will be with us at 10:45. So I'm just saying, if Tim and Ed
Don't cut it.
That we've invited guests on this hour so that you can listen to them.
That's right.
Today's issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
It's been said war is hell, but even the Lord can shine light and grace in the darkest of times. That becomes more apparent when you begin to explore how the gospel changed the lives of several incredible people living through world wars of the last century. Hear their stories on Haven Today this week, a series called War and Grace.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. It's Friday. I know, the weekend's just around the corner, and the good news is that means Jerry Boyer stops by with his market and economic analysis. Jerry, good morning to you.
So that's the good news of Friday?
It is. I mean, the best news.
It's not, it's the end of the work week, and I get to be with my family. And
it's the Jerry's here.
Jerry Boyer Day.
Yeah, although college football is starting, Jerry, so that may trump you. I don't know.
It may well.
Hey, what are you thinking about today, my friend? I see we've got some unemployment ticking up, huh?
We do, and job gains are down, and in that bizarro upside-down world of atheist economics, that is Keynesian economics, it's like, okay, so that's good news for the markets. You know, the job market is bad, so maybe they won't hike because they think that a strong job market causes inflation. Yeah. So because we have a weak job market, they think that maybe we're going to have a little bit less of an inflation problem and they won't have to hike rates or decrease the money supply as they were more expected to do in order to fight against that. So that's called the Phillips curve in economics. It's just a really strange idea. And it is the idea that what causes inflation isn't government messing with the value of your money. What causes inflation is if we're too productive and we're growing too much and we have high employment and good job growth, because that allegedly gives us leverage when we're negotiating with our boss, and that's higher wages, and higher wages they think cause higher inflation. Of course, that's complete nonsense. The way to beat inflation is to grow. right? And to have disciplined monetary policy. But that's not what they think. That's not what the Fed thinks. And so the market knows what the Fed thinks. So the market sees a bad jobs report and says, oh, okay, well, the Fed's going to be, they're going to loosen a little bit. They're going to cut sooner. They're not going to hike next time. And that means the Fed is still invested in the markets. And so the markets go up. And that's what happened today.
Interesting. You know, Jerry, I saw another story out, I think it was yesterday, just about the White House asking Congress to pass another short-term measure to fund the federal government because we want to avoid a shutdown at the end of September. I mean, are we really going to do this again? And, is this just the new norm? We just continue to kick the can down the road?
Yeah, I think it's the new norm. And every time we do it, we're throwing the dice. Because maybe things just get a little out of hand, and then we actually default. I despise the amount of federal spending. I hate the amount of federal borrowing. But these kind of playing chicken with shutdowns and default may not be the best strategy. I mean, the way to do that is, I'm a conservative, all right? So for conservatives to win elections and then actually follow what we say we're going to do when we win elections. The problem is that we don't actually follow what we say we're going to do. And so under the Trump administration, we had a tremendous amount of growth in spending and a tremendous amount of growth in the debt. It's worse under Biden, but it hasn't been good under anybody for a long time. So if we don't offer a genuine alternative, we're going to keep borrowing, and we get closer and closer to the real risk of a genuine debt crisis. I don't think that's what we're facing right now. I think right now we're in this weird world where we've talked about the double-minded Fed.
Yeah.
And you saw that this week. We had inflation higher than usual. Or than expected. Okay, we better fight inflation, by contracting the money supply. But we saw jobs worse. So, oh no, we can't slow the economy down. So basically, Wednesday they were following one mandate. They expected to follow one mandate, and today on Friday, because of a change in the news, we now expect them to follow the other mandate. And the problem is those mandates are in conflict with one another. You slow down the economy to fight inflation. You create inflation to speed up the economy. So you can never get that right because they're in conflict. And I really like what James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We have a double-minded government policy, and we flip back and forth between whether we think we're going to fight inflation by slowing the economy down or we're going to fight recession, by putting money into the economy. And that's why these markets just gravitate back and forth on a weekly, daily, hourly, sometimes minute-to-minute basis based on we're trying to guess which of the Jekyll Hyde split personalities of the Fed are going to be in charge next.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jerry, as you listen to the presidential candidates on the Republican side, which ones actually are talking about real fiscal restraint? Are you hearing that from anyone?
I don't think I heard that on the dais from anybody. I mean, I listened. I was there. I heard a lot of personal conflict. I heard a lot of why I'm the guy and you're not. No, I'm the guy and you're the gal and you're not. I heard a lot of that. I heard a lot about the conflicts that President Trump is involved with various what I would seems like pretty zealous local prosecutors. And, well, are you going to pardon or are you not going to pardon? I didn't hear a growth message there. I didn't hear a fiscal restraint message. And it's kind of amazing to me. It's like, we're on the Titanic. And there's an iceberg. Now, the iceberg's not just in front of us, I don't think. But I can see the iceberg through my binoculars. Now, maybe my binoculars have been wrong before, but I can see it. I think I see an iceberg out there, which is a debt crisis. And then we're arguing about which song we're going to play, when the band's going to play, what song they're going to play, or who's going to sit in the first seat. That to me is a problem. That seems like sort of late stage Republic kind of thinking rather than what I grew up with, which was Reagan, which was basically, look, I want the country going in the right direction. Kemp and Reagan, either one could have supported the other. I didn't see that on the dais. I didn't see a pro-growth and fiscal restraint and sound money message at all.
Yeah, interesting. Well, that's, of course, what it's going to take. So tie a bow on this, Jerry. What would you leave us with today?
What I'd leave us with is God is in control. And when things are going badly, that doesn't mean God is in control. Because when things are going badly for a country that is acting badly, that is just another proof of God's covenant faithfulness, which is, I love you. I'm not going to reward you for doing something that is in the wrong direction. So, but it's not hate, it's chastisement, because chastisement comes from love. So when markets go down, or when we have inflation, or when the dollar falls, or the interest rates rise, or gold rises, all these things that are indicators of problems, well, God's love is behind that. Might not feel like it, just like it doesn't feel like love when we punish our kids. But if we're good parents, it is love. Our job is not to complain about it. Our job is to learn from it. Our leaders should learn from it. And if they don't, then we need different leaders.
Well said, Jerry. It's a great place to leave it today. Hey, enjoy your weekend, my friend. Thanks for your time. We'll talk to you next week.
You too. God bless.
All right. That's Jerry Boyer, our resident economist. He joins us each Friday with his market commentary and analysis. We always appreciate it. All right. Let's round out the program today with a couple of phone calls. Linda, you've been very patient. Go right ahead.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am on a condo mortgage with my mother, who's had a stroke and is still living in a nursing home. The condo will be paid for by January of 2025. It is gutted in terms of appliances and carpeting and flooring, and I am residing in the condo. Medicaid is down the line when she passes. Should I sell as is, or should I remodel?
Yeah, and you're a 50% owner of this property, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I would, I'd probably get a real estate professional in there. I mean, you're just looking to maximize the value of this, so you're looking purely as an investment. You're not considering, the where you're going to live, because obviously this is where you're living. So that makes it, it's more complicated than just do I renovate or not? Because if you decide not to and sell it, then you're going to have to go live somewhere else. But you're okay with that?
My financial planner tells me that I should sell it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, certainly. Yeah. Okay. Well, here's what I would do. I would probably get a trusted real estate professional in there just to help you do a market analysis, figure out what is the market, generating with your size unit and property and so forth. Look at the state of it and decide what needs to be done and what doesn't. Because, I agree, you probably don't want to go through all the hassle and expense of renovating it. And yet it may be worth it because you may, lose so much value with somebody walking in and saying, wow, this is just, way too much. Or they may be thrilled because they're going to get it below market, and then they've got a blank canvas where they can do the things that they want to do, put in the flooring they want and choose the appliances they want. I mean, I don't know what needs to be done here, but I think, if you're open to leaving it and you just want to maximize the value, then let's get a professional in there who can say, yes, I'd do this. No, I wouldn't touch that, and help you put a plan together. So maybe you're not doing all of it. Maybe you're just doing the things that are the most critical to get it to a place where it's not going to be, an eyesore, or it's going to create, a problem for a prospective buyer where they say, I just don't want to touch that. So I think that's perhaps your next step. And, a great real estate professional would be delighted to come in and help you do that, because then they'll likely get the business when it is time to sell, whether that's now or, 6 months or a year from now. So that's my best advice, Linda. I know this is not easy, but we appreciate you checking in with us. I hope that's helpful. Nona, I'm sorry we didn't get to you. If you want to stay on the line, Betty, same for you. Robert will try to get you rescheduled for next week. We'd love to chat with you. Thanks for calling today, and I'm sorry we didn't get you on the air. Well, folks, we covered a lot of ground today. Here's the big idea. Jerry said it well. God as creator has entrusted to us the resources we have, among many other things. He is our true source and abundance. Let's manage his money wisely and faithfully, and that's really our objective. keep an eternal perspective at the time. In the same time. Let me say thanks to my team today, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, and Robert Youngblood. Couldn't do this without them, that's for sure. Thank you for being here. Enjoy your weekend and come back and join us next week after the Labor Day holiday. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.